This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message entitled The Holy Spirit Part 3 was delivered on October 4th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Multiply the word further and further that others may be saved. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dennis. Well, if you are here this morning, whether you're out there or here, be here, not somewhere out there. If you need to see our barista for some coffee, go ahead. If you're hungry, we have some expert chefs over here that made you some delicious fried rice and packaged it individually so you can eat it while you're sitting down. So you can get fed spiritually and physically all at the same time. You call that multitasking because you can do two things at once. Well, I'd like to welcome you. Man, it is October. Wow, trick or treat going to be different, yeah, this year. Now how that's going to be doing. You drive by and you drop back and you throw the candy in the window as they drive past. Hopefully you don't hit the driver. Make sure you get soft candy now. Don't throw those lollipop in my the stick, poke the driver in the eye and get accident. Whew. So, hey, we talked about the Holy Spirit the last 2 weeks. You know, the first week we talked about the Trinity, and although the Bible does not have the word Trinity in it, when it always mentions the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. And we learned that the Holy Spirit, it is God. It's not some thing out there, some mystical thing. It is God. And we learn that in order for us to receive that power, the power of the Holy Spirit, man, we gotta really stay close to the power source. We gotta, you know, get close to God, draw near to Him. We gotta empty ourselves of ourselves. You know, we gotta, you know, those like, it's all about me. We got to empty ourselves of ourselves so that the Holy Spirit can fill us. Amen. We got to be humble. And we got to just make sure that we do these things so that, you know, we can draw on that power. Just like back in the New Testament days, they had power. And that power came from the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Amen. And so today, as we conclude the series on the Holy Spirit, I want to talk to you about some spiritual things, gifts, ministries, effects, and manifestations. So the first one is gifts. In Romans 12, 6 to 8, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us, is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So the seven gifts: prophesying or preaching, some people may say, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and mercy. How many of you have the gift of mercy? Nobody. Oh, you guys are merciless. I better not screw up over here. Oh my. Wow. Nobody. Mercy. None of your parents. No mercy on your children. And your grandchildren. Oh, amen. God gives us a gift so we can build ourselves up. No. I can see your eyes right there. I was ready to stone me. God gives us gifts. Imagine somebody cut that part out and put that on Facebook. Oh, I'd be taking it out of context. God gives us gifts so we can build up His church to use them. So in order for us to use our gifts to build up God's church, we need to realize that all gifts and abilities come from God. We need to understand that not everyone has the same gifts. Thank God, yeah? But I wouldn't be so bad if all of us had the gift of singing and music. Man, we would rock this place. But some of us don't have that gift of music. We need to know who we are and what we do best. Eating. Yeah? And we need to dedicate our gifts to God's service and not our own personal success. Yeah? We must be willing to use our gifts wholeheartedly, not holding back anything from God's service. You know, God's gifts that He has given us, they differ in nature, power, and effectiveness according to His wisdom and His graciousness. Our role is to be faithful and to seek ways that we can serve others with what Christ has given us. Now, if you look at this list of gifts and the kinds of people who would have each gift, prophets, maybe they might be bold and articulate. Servers, those who serve in ministry are faithful and loyal. I was here at before 5, opening the gate, and right behind me was Scott. Yeah, he was like, he couldn't wait for me to get the gate open. If I was smart, I would have waited on the side of the road till he pulled up, opened the gate, then I could have just drove right in. No, but he was there. Teachers are clear thinkers. You know, they think, teaching is not an easy thing. I had to teach some children one time, and I couldn't figure out how to teach them certain things. It was really, really, I racked my brains until I talked to a teacher, and they made it so simple. So teachers are really, they're clearly thinking how they can get the teaching across so that people understand. Encouragers know how to motivate others. Richard, he's a good, where's Richard? He's a good encourager. Where's Richard? Where is he? Oh, he's back there on his guitar. He is a really good encourager. Givers are generous and trusting. Doc, he's a great giver. I mean, half the sound equipment is his. We borrow from him. And he loans us, and he trusts us. Leaders are good organizers and managers. Mercy. Nobody raised their hand. Only to your grandkids. Those who show kindness and caring to people, and they are happy to give their time to others. Mercy. Now, it would be difficult for somebody to embody all of these gifts unless your name is Jesus. Last time I checked, nobody's name here was Jesus. We might call him Jesus, but nobody's name was Jesus. So, you see, like, an assertive prophet might not make a good counselor, because he might, you might have heard this expression before, he might deliver the truth through the barrel of a shotgun. And, you know, if you just so boldly tell the truth, sometimes, you know, it can hurt. If your wife puts on a dress and says, does this dress make me look fat? And you know you cannot lie. And if you tell the truth, man, you got to figure out how to step around that. Yeah. So a prophet might not make a good counselor if he's so, you know, assertive. A generous giver might fail as a leader because he just might give everything away. When we identify our gifts, we need to just say, God, how can I use my gift to build up God's family? You know, think about, how can I use my gift to build up the family? James Scott, they use the gift of cooking to build up our family. We're growing. Not maybe necessarily that way, but maybe this way. At the same time, we gotta realize that your gifts cannot do the work of the church all alone. So we need to be thankful with those who have the different gifts as ours. I'm thankful for Pastor Aaron because I say, Pastor Aaron, that is your half of the stage. You take charge of that. I'm not allowed to go over there and sing because I just might mess it up. And I'm thank God that he can do that, and that's his gift. We have Lena who takes care of the PowerPoint. And I think if I were to do PowerPoint, they would be singing one verse and you would be singing another verse. Oh, that would be bad. And for Mel and Myra, they're over there at the front desk taking your temperature. How many people you kicked out and sent home today? 20. Thank you for keeping us safe. Yeah, so we have all different gifts. And our different gifts makes up for the other's weaknesses. So it kind of balances out. You know, I always look for people to serve in the church. And God always tells me, they are there. You just got to find him. So sometimes I look and I can't find anybody. And then when I pray, God reveals them to, you know, there was a time when I was looking for a person to do children, and I looked and I prayed. And finally, the Lord revealed Tiffany. Tiffany and Conan, they've been in our church for years. But until I prayed, and then when I asked Tiffany, she said, I always wanted to know what I could do more for the Lord. Hello, sister, we look with man's eyes. Oh, we all blind, get all the muck up here, no can see. And we got to pray with our spiritual eyes, and God reveals it. So we have gifts, because thank God she takes care of the children, because I might not be able to take care of the children like her, because we know what mercy, right? Yeah, so we have gifts. Number two, we have ministries. From Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4:11. Yeah. Notice how this list of gifts, not abilities, but people who possess a gift. And this is made more distinct when Paul says to the church in Corinth that his desire is that every one of them speak in tongues and prophesy. But in that same letter, he says that not all are prophets. In other words, there's a difference between having the gift of prophecy and being a prophet. Now, some refer to this as the fivefold ministry gifts, apostles, and you can look, there's some scriptures on the side of this where you can read about it. Ephesians 1:11. Jesus chose the 12, and Paul, they were considered apostles. They were sent out to plant churches. Prophets, in Acts 21:10, Agabus, who spoke to Paul about what was to come. Evangelists, Philip, when he was explaining Isaiah to the Ethiopian eunuch. And pastors, in Acts 13:1, Barnabas and Simeon, who were teaching in the church at Antioch. And the teacher, Philippians 2:20, where young Timothy was being trained to teach and preach. So a ministry opportunity God opened for you to share your gift. Okay, so God opened a ministry opportunity for you to share your gift. And here at New Hope East Hawaii, we have many openings. Yeah, and you don't even have to apply. You just have to ask, I have this gift. We'll find a place for you. We need that, the gift of technical support. Always we do. We see some of those ministry opportunities in Ephesians 4:11, which says he gave some as apostles. In the stricter sense, apostle referred to the 12 selected by Jesus. In the broader sense, though, it seems that to take God's word where it has never been shared before, you know, could be called an apostle. Some people say there is, some people say there isn't. But apostle is like being sent. God also gave some as prophets. Prophets in the Bible were those who mainly spoke to God's people. Some would say evangelists, who go and speak to the non-Christians. Those were people who, the evangelists were the people who went to speak to unbelievers, like Billy Graham. And some as pastors and teachers, and there are a variety of ministries. Youth ministry, your ministry, unlike your gift, can change over time. And you can have more than one ministry at the same time. So that those are what we call ministry. Then we have what we call effects. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons, 1 Corinthians 12:6. God is completely involved in giving, using, and empowering of gifts. Specific gifts. He places service and activities, they all may be different, they all vary, but they all have their best effect when we use it to build the body of Christ, the church. And God would create a unique place in the body for every believer, not just a few select you see on the worship team, or over here on PowerPoint or on the soundboard. God has a place for every person. God designed a role for you. And part of the exciting adventure of following Christ involves discovering your service contribution and then developing that gift and making it available to God. So whether this is your home church or not, you know, find your gift and use it for your storehouse, for your home church. There are like different gifts. There are a variety of effects, okay? So there's the gift, there's the ministries, there's the effects. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things. The effects, such as wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, are results or effects that God produces in other people's lives when you are using your gifts in the ministry that God has given you. When you exercise your gift in the ministry God gives you, the Holy Spirit will produce supernatural results in other people's lives. Never, ever in the Bible we are told to concentrate on these effects. We cannot concentrate on the healing or the faith. We gotta concentrate on God. God opens it up to us. The Bible says we are to concentrate on finding our spiritual gift, as 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So it is important for us to know the difference between the gifts and the manifestations. Gifts are things given to us by God, naturally. We own them. It's ours. We exercise them at will. They are listed in Romans 12, 6-8. Now, number four, manifestations. To manifest means to make clear, to see, or to understand. Manifestation gifts are supernatural demonstrations of the Holy Spirit's presence and power. The Spirit of God is the source of these gifts from the Holy Spirit. They are manifested for the benefit of others and to bring glory to God. So they are made for us to see, and they made clear for us to understand. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, but to each one is given. Notice how it says each one. Each one. That means each one. Not each some or half of this or that half or this half. Or each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles. Now, I like to say, if you got the gift of healing, let us know, because a lot of people need healing. Or even the effecting of miracles, because we need miracles. And to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing, again, says, to each one individually just as he wills. Okay, so there's word of wisdom. Now, you ever have somebody who has a problem and you tell them, do this? And it's like, why didn't I think of that? You know, sometimes, especially if you know the Bible, you can explain to them what the Bible or what the people in the Bible did during this circumstance or this time. Word of knowledge. You know, we always ask for knowledge. Some people might need a word of knowledge now and then when they're in this difficult time. Faith. Some of you have more faith than others. Some of you get up in the morning ready to go to the beach and you see the clouds and the sky is dark gray and, oh, let's not go to the beach. It's going to rain. But somebody says, no, it's going to clear up. When I go fishing, it's always going to clear up. When it's dark and cloudy, we're going to fishing, it's going to clear up. Gifts of healing. Man, we need that. We all need healing in some way, form or another. Effecting of miracles. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I look at where I was and where I'm at now and where I get to go. I'm a walking miracle because of the transformation that happened to my life. Prophecy is not necessarily foretelling the future, but it's pretty much speaking God's word. You give them a scripture. You're prophesying. Somebody has a problem. You give them a verse. That's prophesying, giving them God's word. Distinguishing of spirits. Now, when someone comes around you and you kind of like sense, man, there's something not quite right. I mean, they come by you and the hair on your arms stand up, and I got a little bit more than everybody else, but you know, like when you put a balloon and your hair just feel that spirit. And sometimes I go around certain people and then there's like a check in my spirit. It's like something's not quite right. You know, various kinds of tongues. You know, you can speak in a tongue. I use my tongue, my various kinds, just to pray. When somebody tells me, pray for me, but it's so confidential that they can't tell me what to pray about, I use my prayer language and I pray to God, because only God knows what I'm praying about and not even the devil knows. Interpretation of tongues. When somebody of you speaks out in a tongue in church, the Bible says there needs to be an interpretation. And if there is no one to interpret, then that person needs to just not speak in tongues. When we understand that the manifestations are spirit controlled by the Holy Spirit, and we understand the purpose of his coming, which was to establish his internal kingdom in us, these gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit take their natural place. And knowing that each of us, each and every one of us Christians, has gift sets that are unique, that are valuable, and they're needed in the body of Christ. It gives us, you know, if you have that gift and you are exercising it, you are using it, then you find your purpose in God's kingdom. Now, if you have your gift and you're sitting on it and you're hiding it and you're not using it, man, you're not going to find your purpose in the kingdom of God. But if you know your gift, exercise it, use it. And as you demonstrate the love of God through your gift that he gives you, I can tell you what, you will experience fulfillment and great joy. And as you mature in your understanding of spiritual gifts and learn to be available as a channel of God's power as he works through your gift, you can be more fruitful and you can effectively avoid that spiritual exhaustion. Because imagine if I worked in something that was not my gift, if I had to go up there and sing before every service, I think I would exhaust myself and I would exhaust you trying to listen to me. It's like, oh gosh. And then when I come up here and speak, I'll be too exhausted and you'll be tired of listening to me. So we got to find our gift, where it fits, exercise it, and we will find the purpose, we will find the joy, we will draw close, we will use the power of the Holy Spirit. And who would benefit from that? All of us. God's body would benefit from all of us, from the Holy Spirit, as he works through us, as we use our gifts to change the world. That's what they did in Acts. 12 of them changed the world. We got more than 12 here. Well, it's a math person, right? Yeah, we got more than 12 here. So, understand that the Holy Spirit is God, and that God lives in you, and that he gives you gifts. And you get to use those gifts to serve others, to build up the body of Christ. Amen? We're going to have our brother Walt come up, and he has so graciously volunteered, or he was volunteered by Pastor Aaron, to exercise his gift in leading us in communion. So at home, quick, run to the icebox, grab your grape juice and grab your cracker, grab your loaf of bread, whatever you got. It just doesn't have to be grape juice, but it just represents, you know, what we do. Everybody, welcome our brother Wall.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Scott. Thank you for that great working, and thank you for the Holy Spirit that is at work in you with the messages and the teaching that you provide to us to help us along in our journey, to help, you know, discover our gifts, you know, to help develop our gifts and then turn around and deploy those same gifts to benefit the body of the church. I know hopefully everybody got your elements. And God put, when I found out that I was going to be giving communion, he kind of touched my heart a little bit regarding what these elements represent. I know a lot of times we go through and we know it's for our healing and it's for the forgiveness of our sins. It's for our cleansing. But he put on my heart about communion. And what it actually means like a co-union. It is the elements represent the sacrifice of the new covenant. You know, the old things have passed away, all things have become new. You know, and these elements are and it's a beautiful thing. It goes beyond just, you know, the blessings that we receive and the forgiveness, but it's like attuned to a wedding. It's like giving vows at a wedding, and it's beautiful. Because it cost God so much, but he freely gave it. He freely gave it. And it just shows, you know, the value, because of the price that was paid, the value that you have to the Father. And it's like a wedding, you know, a covenant. It's like a binding contract. God says, you know, I forgive you of your sins. God says, let me cleanse you. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. His word says, you know, nothing in heaven, nothing on the earth, or nothing under the earth can ever snatch you from my hand. He is always with us. We are never alone. And the price that he paid for was for your life. It was an exchange. His life for my life. His body for my body. His blood for my blood. So in turn, as we take communion this morning, let us speak and cry out to the Lord, Father, all that is mine is yours, and I understand that all that is yours is mine, and I accept it, you know, and I give you what you paid for, which is my life. You know, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price, you know. I'm no longer for sale, for I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. And I know we usually take the reading for communion is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. And God put it on my heart as I read through this last night. And he said this epistle was written by the Apostle Paul. And we know that Paul wasn't there at the Last Supper because he was, you know, he was anointed later on after the resurrection and ascension of Christ. But in verse 23, you know, it showed that although he wasn't there, he received this directly from the Lord. Because it says in verse 23, and I'll read, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered." So it's not like he was, you know, copying Mark's gospel or John's gospel or getting a secondhand account. No, he received this from the Lord. This is God saying, this is how it went down. And the words are specific. "For I have received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed," that same night on which he was betrayed, it specifically says that, that same night, he knew what was going to happen. He knew Judas was going to sell him out. He knew he was going to be turned over to be judged by evil men. He knew that he was going to have to go to the cross. He knew that the disciples that he spent 3 years of his life ministering, that he has the hope in, they were going to scatter. He knew all this, but yet it never changed his purpose. He never changed his mind. Knowing that he was going to be betrayed, he still took the bread. What do we do when we are betrayed? How do we react when we face betrayal, when somebody wrongs us? You know, that Jesus said, you know, no man come after me unless he first denies himself, picks up his cross, and follows me. And that's what he's saying. The night that he knew he was going to be betrayed, what did he do? He gave thanks. He said, "Thank you, Father." And he broke the bread. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." How I reacted to being betrayed. How I took on the persecution. Remember what was done for you, the price that was paid. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And in the same manner, that means in that same attitude of knowing that he was going to be betrayed, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Your body for my body, your blood for my blood. I make this covenant with you, Father." Thank you, Lord. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim the price that he paid. You proclaim that you are worth the blood of the Lord's Son, Jesus Christ. You proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." That's the hope we have in glory, the day that he is going to return for his bride. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat and drink of the cup." Father God, I thank you for the opportunity that you give us, Lord God, to be in covenant and communion with you, Lord. We don't take this lightly, Father God, but we give you all the glory, Lord, and thank you for your spirit that is alive in us, Lord God. We do this in remembrance and for the hope that we have in your glory and your second coming. Father God, let this truth burn in our hearts, Lord. Give us eyes to see and live through the vision and perspective of eternity. And let Jesus Christ be manifested in our lives in a greater way than ever before. In your precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people say,
amen. Amen. Thank you all. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. Hey, next week, we're going to be looking at perspective. We're going to be going through the story of the Good Samaritan. So you might want to read that this week so you can kind of have a better time following along. If not, you guys have a great week. Be safe, all right? Use your precautions and act wisely when doing stuff or going places. And just have a wonderful week. God bless you all. Have a fantastic day. If before you leave, if you want to grab a bite to eat, go ahead, help yourself. Empty the coffee pots. If not, it's going down the drain. So God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea'au, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.